Hey guys, and welcome to Money Talks News, the podcast. This podcast is all about making you richer. And at the end of the day, there are only two ways to do that. Either you make more or you spend less. In this episode, we're going to talk about ways to spend less, but doing it without sacrificing your quality of life. That's right. I'm talking about financial gain without lifestyle pain. I'm Stacey Johnson. As usual, my co-host will be financial journalist Miranda Marquette. Hello, Miranda.
Oh, Stacey, I'm super excited because everybody knows how much I hate pain.
Why do you work with me?
You're not that bad.
Listening in and sometimes contributing is our producer and novice investor, Aaron Freeman. Hello, Aaron.
I agree. I don't like pain either.
God, what's wrong with you guys? And today we've got a very special guest, Gina Zachariah, a viral TikTok sensation and author of the book, Simple Secrets to Becoming a Saving Whiz. Hello, Gina.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. Okay, before we start, guys, remember, we're not giving you real financial advice on this podcast because we don't know you. So please make sure to do your own research and make your own decisions before acting on anything that you may learn here. Okay, let's dive in. Gina, how is saving money the foundation to financial freedom?
Gosh, saving money is one of the easiest ways to start with your financial well-being. So when you're looking at everything that you want to do, whether you want to pay off debt or buy a new home or retire early, it always starts with saving money. So if you can learn how to save money in a more effective way, everything else becomes easier.
I tell you what though, whenever I hear this, whenever we have a conversation about spending less, saving more, it sounds like I'm about to go on a dollar diet. That does not sound like my idea of fun. How do you respond to that?
It's not mine either, which is why I'm a huge proponent of keeping it simple and making it work with your lifestyle. Because if it feels restrictive and it feels like you're depriving yourself, it's not going to be sustainable and you're not going to want to do it long term.
When you say focus on the simple things, what do you mean by that? What kind of simple things?
So just the everyday spending that you do, you can still get all the things that you normally do, still enjoy the lifestyle that you have without depriving yourself, and you can still save money. So for instance, if you want to go buy coffee, you can still go buy coffee, but you just have to have it in your spending plan so that it makes sense for your budget. And if you have everything in your spending plan and you know ahead of time what you're going to spend on, then it makes it easier when you're using that money for those purposes. You don't feel guilty and you're not spending money that should be used for something else. So you don't feel like you're restricted.
Now, one of the things you talk about in your book, one of the first things you talk about is unlearning. What do you mean? Explain unlearning to me.
So one major thing that I've noticed is a lot of the things that we've learned growing up is this idea that in order for us to be successful with anything, including finances, we have to have these really big goals. I have to have $1 million by the time I'm 30. I have to have a 5-bedroom massive home by the time I'm 25. Whatever those big goals are, we've always looked at those things as the standard of success. And unlearning is really just about going back to the basics and looking at what it is that we really want for our lives and not basing that on huge goals, but breaking those huge goals down and taking them into smaller goals, because the smaller the goal, the less intimidating it is. So it's actually easier to accomplish versus if we think, okay, I want to save $1 million and I don't even have $10 in my bank account. It's going to be really hard for us to realize that dream if we don't even know where to start, because immediately I'm going to feel very overwhelmed if I don't even know how to get to my first 1,000 versus a million.
Do you think it's true? And I know Miranda talks about this a lot. Do you think it's true that we need to align our morals and what we want to get from life more than financial goals? Is it more important to have time off or whatever it is that's important to you? Is it more important to do that than it is to say, I'm going to have X number of dollars in the bank?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a balance. So especially with personal finance, it's completely personal. So if you're not creating those goals to reflect the things that you actually want, like priorities and all of the things that make you feel like your cup is filled and your life is enjoyable, then what's the point? The entire point of you even making all of these financial goals is so that at the end of the day, you could do the things you want. If you love working, great. Don't retire early. Do something else. Do the things that you love to do. Someone else might want to retire at 30, 35 and spend time with their kids or spend time traveling or whatever it is. So I do think that it's really important that you're crystal clear on the things that you personally want and not just make your financial goals based on what everyone else is talking about and what everyone else says the goal should be by a certain age.
Yeah. And in other words, I wrote a book many years ago about saving money and getting out of debt and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the way I started it was to talk about what makes you happy. Because and we all do this when we're 21 years old. I know I did. I wanted to retire when I was 30. And I wanted to have $1 million and a yacht, blah, blah, blah. But what I was ignoring was what I really want is to be happy. And that may require a yacht and $1 million, but it may not.
Yeah.
So that's a good place to start, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And some people's goals are very simple. They just want to be able to spend time doing the things they love versus having those really massive things that everyone looks at as successful, like the big yacht or the massive house or whatever it is. So it's really important that you're crystal clear on that.
So what specifically, what kind of things do we need to unlearn as we begin this journey?
Okay, so one major thing is this idea of big goals. And I talk about this in the book because it was one of those things that really tripped me up when I first started, because we often think that every great success is tied to a big goal, like I was saying before. And these big goals can create really big obstacles that get in our way to even get started. So what ends up happening is we end up procrastinating and avoiding the thing that we actually want to do. So instead, if we take small steps, it actually makes us get to our goal faster, because small steps create momentum and that momentum creates consistency. And as we know with even investing, when we think of consistency and this amplified wealth, it's about compounding that consistency. So having small steps actually works magic in your finances. And we don't have to look at those big goals anymore the way that we used to.
What do you mean exactly by small steps? A lot of things on TikTok right now are going around, like the 100 envelopes and the 52-week challenge. And there's some other challenges out there that are only a month long, but yet there's some financial experts out there saying, well, if you only do these monthly goals or weekly goals, you all of a sudden you reach that goal, but then you're like, okay, great, I did that. Now I'm going to go back to spending.
My biggest thing is the small steps are supposed to help lead you to those bigger steps. So as you go, you're progressing. If you just do this one off thing, like the 30-day challenges, and then you stop, then clearly you're not going to find that compounding momentum, right? Just like if you were to invest for 30 days at a time and then stop and never invest again, you're not going to grow as much as if you invest and contribute every single month. So the idea of starting small is just to get your feet wet, to get you to start and to have that momentum and to start building that confidence in your ability to actually do the hard things. As you start to build that muscle, you can go for bigger steps and you can go for more advanced action steps instead of just the smaller things. But you have to start small, especially at the beginning when you're not sure where to start.
I think one of my favorite things about starting small is the story of my son when he started investing. And he was like, whew, I don't know what to do, all this stuff, what do I do? And I said, you know what, buddy, you're going to school, you've got a little part-time job. Do you feel like you could set up an automatic transfer for $5 a week and just do a simple robo-advisor for $5 a week? Do you think you could afford that? And he's like, yeah, I could, but is it really going to do any good? And I'm like, let's find out. Let's set it up. So we did. We set it up, $5 a week. And after a few months of doing that consistently, he was like, oh, wow. He's looking at his returns. He's looking at his stuff. He's like, wow, I have more than I put in. This is really building up fast, even with just the simple thing of $5 a week. And it wasn't like an amazing amount of money. Obviously, he's not a millionaire or anything after a few months, clearly. But he then saw the success. He saw that he was making progress. So then he stepped it up to $10 a week. Last week, we just went on a little overnight trip to go see a relative. And we were driving down there and I just asked him, hey, how are the investments going? And he's like, just wanting to know, a couple months ago, I upped it from $15 a week to $20 a week. And he pulled out the app, pulled it up, and he said, I don't even think about it anymore. And it's such a small amount, but I feel like I'm making room for it because this is what I want and I want to see this. And so I think part of it is not so much trying to do a challenge to kick something. It's more what Gina's talking about is let's slowly start making these steps that bring what you're doing in line with how you want to move forward with your life and make it actually part of your life.
Yes, exactly. That was a really great illustration. And as you were telling your son's story, I actually thought about my daughter she's 22 now. And when she first started working, that was one of the things that we worked on was just a budget and being able to save money. And one of the things was she was so intimidated. She was like, I don't know where to start and I don't know how much to save. And I'm like, okay, let's just save a small percentage. And I think it was like 10% of her income, which was really small at the time because she was working at a like recreation center. And she started saving 10% and realized, oh, I can actually save more. And then she started saving more. Like you said, if we hadn't started small, it could feel so intimidating that we put it off. Oh, maybe not this month. We'll try next month. And then it really never happens. So it's just really getting you started. That's the biggest hurdle. Once you get started, you can always make it bigger.
Cool. We're going to go ahead and take a really quick break here because what I want to get to is I want to find out some specifics because you're the queen of saving. You're going to give us some specific tips on how to save money without sacrificing quality of life, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so hang with us, folks, through this short break. And we're going to on the other side, we're going to get you some specifics. They're going to put money in your pocket. Okay, we're back. But before we start, if you appreciate what we do, folks, do something for us. Share this show with your friends and family on your favorite social platforms and subscribe to our podcast. It takes you 2 seconds, but it really helps us. Okay, now, Gina, before we start on specifics, I want to ask you something really quick. How'd you happen to do what you're doing? How'd you happen to be here being an expert on saving money and this and being on TikTok and all that stuff? What's your background?
It's funny. I've been in the finance space for over 20 years, but I personally had over $100,000 of high interest debt. And so when I started, I was at negative zero. And it was really hard because I was one of those people that hated budgeting, didn't really like to manage my spending, wanted to be able to spend on the things I wanted, but didn't understand how to do those things. So I'm coming from a place of I've been where you are and I know how to get to success. So let me show you the way that I did it because I did it in a very unorthodox way in that I didn't go with what the mainstream standards were of getting out of debt. I did it in a very simple way, but still allowing myself to enjoy life at the same time. I didn't sacrifice everything to get here.
Now you've certainly piqued my curiosity. You paid off your debt in a unique way. What is that? Is it from saving money, you mean?
Yeah, it was from saving money. It was from just tweaking some things, understanding that I had more power in my finances than I thought I did. Everything at one point felt like, oh, the circumstances are this, and I just have to deal with the circumstances that I've been handed. But it's, no, I get to control my circumstances to a certain extent, and I can make things change if I were to tweak these little things. And so that's what I started to do. And I can dive into that if you want me to, but it really comes down to what kind of things we can actually do to move the needle without feeling like we're completely changing our lifestyle.
Let me back up a step then. Okay, you're $100,000 in debt. Okay, so what did you do? What's the first thing you did to turn your life around or turn your financial life around?
I had to do a budget, unfortunately. So the first thing, I was very reluctant.
We're all sad now.
I know. And the way that I used to look at budgeting was, oh my gosh, this is going to be so restrictive. And my poor husband, who is also in the finance space, he's an accountant by trade, but he also is really passionate about accounting and numbers and all of that, kept for years trying to convince me that a budget was the way to go. And I was like, nope. I do not want to do a budget. Are you kidding? Like, I work really hard for my money. I deserve to spend it. And I do not want to feel restricted.
You don't want to see that Starbucks bill. Oh my God, that's how much I'm spending? Oh.
Like, I actually have to track it? No, I don't want to do this.
And you know what, Gina? I'm an accountant too. I'm a CPA. And I couldn't imagine being married to somebody who was a spendthrift like that. It would drive me insane.
Oh, it did. It totally drove him insane. But I think once I realized that we were in so much debt and something had to change because I felt like I wasn't living at that time. Everything was pretty much, no, we couldn't do this. We can't afford that. And I felt, okay, something had to change. We were about to purchase our first home and there were certain things that I wanted to be able to do in my life. And I knew that if I kept going the way that I was, it wasn't going to happen. So I reluctantly agreed to do this budget and I sat with it. We did it together and I looked at it and said, oh, okay, let's start with groceries because that's something that's not intimidating. It's something that I have to touch every single week. I go to the grocery store every single week. Let me see if I can work with that for a little bit. And so I started working with groceries. I was talking to my mom one day and she was like, why are you shopping at that grocery store when you have XYZ grocery store next to you that has a sale on the same stuff? And I was like, I don't know. So I left everything at the grocery store that I was in, went to the other one, and I was like, oh my gosh, the same stuff, just they were on sale. So I saved in just the one shopping trip, I saved 40 or 50% of what I would have been spending. And then it just clicked for me. I was like, okay, if I'm able to save 50% today and I wasn't even planning well, what can I do next shopping trip? How can I make it even more? And then it became like a game. And then from one line of the budget to another line, I kept doing the same thing with almost every category that I was responsible for because we had our budget split in a way where he was responsible for all of the fixed bills. I was responsible for the variable bills. And then we'd come together and talk about ways that we can improve things, what we can do better, what's been working, all of those things. But we had those things split. So I had all the variable categories and I just started working on each line the same way. And I think month two or three, we were having a conversation. He's, guess what? We can pay our entire credit card bill this month with just one of our paychecks. And I was, wow, that's amazing. We weren't able to do that before because I kept overspending on the credit card.
Throw some stuff out at me. You said you saved 50% by going to a different store. I'm trying to imagine how that could occur. Maybe Aldi's way cheaper than Safeway or whatever. But other than finding a less expensive grocery store, what specific tips can you give me on saving on food, for example?
For example, okay. I never looked at ads. That was something that I never thought was really that big of a deal. They're free. They come in the mail and they seem like just spam. So I didn't really look at them. I started paying attention to my ads and paid attention to which stores had what. So I almost pitted the stores against each other for my business. Which store is giving me the most value for my money this week? So I would make a list of all the things that I needed and I'd write down next to my items which store had the best price. And the majority, whichever store had the majority of the things I wanted at a lower price, that's the store I would go to that week.
Okay.
I also started looking at generic brands versus name brands. And I tried some. Not all of them work, but the majority of them are almost exactly the same. And what I discovered was a lot of these brands and their generic brand counterparts are made in the same distribution center. The only difference is they put a different label on it. So all of the ingredients are the same. Then why am I paying 40% more just because this name is on it? So I started doing more of that. My family didn't even notice a difference. And I was saving money in the process. So I wasn't changing our lifestyle. I wasn't changing what we were actually purchasing. I was just tweaking some things that were on the background that nobody really noticed, and we got to save money.
And my assumption is that you took this money that you had saved and you applied it towards the debt you wanted to destroy.
Exactly.
Cool. What other things? Monthly bills. Did you find ways to save on those?
Yeah. So my husband was working on the monthly bills, and what we realized was we could actually negotiate our fixed bills.
Example.
Our cell phone bill. Our cell phone bill was let's say, I don't remember what it was at the time, but let's say it was $200. And most people are just going to say, okay, this is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it.
Did you have a major carrier?
Yeah, we did. And we still do. We were, I don't know if you guys want me to say actual names.
You can say actual names.
Okay. We were with Verizon at the time. And Verizon is pretty known to be more expensive. They have a great network, but they tend to be pretty expensive, at least where I am. And we started looking around. We looked at all the different deals that were out there at the time. And we went back to Verizon and he specifically told them, hey, I have, these are the promotions that are out right now. What can you do for me? Because I want to be able to stay with you as a customer. I've been with you for a long time. And I see that the prices everywhere else are much lower. And ultimately, there wasn't a lot that they did for us. So we decided to go with another carrier. Now, they could have taken that and said, you know what, we really want to retain this customer. So we're going to find a way to make it work, which we've done with like our internet provider and our streaming networks. We've done that with them and they've kept us as a customer by lowering the rate and matching it to what the promotions were somewhere else.
Yeah.
But with, in particular with our cell phone bill, we actually just decided to move carriers and we've been happy with our carrier ever since. We're now with T-Mobile and I think we pay $60 or $70 less than we did then. And we have an extra line on our bill this time around.
And what about bills like insurance? Basically what you're doing, Gina, is you put all your expenses down in a budget. And then you're going through each line item of that budget and seeing where you can save without sacrificing your quality of life. Is that correct? Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what's happening. With insurance, it's a little bit more challenging, but there are things that you can do. So I remember when my first daughter was getting on our insurance, and of course, a 16-year-old or 17-year-old going on car insurance is a big wake-up call because you don't realize how expensive it is. And when she first started and we put her on, there were certain things that she could do and that we could do to save money. So there was a online course with the insurance provider that if she took it, it would give us a 25% discount or a 15% discount at the time. And then there were grades. So because she was a student, if she had grades to a certain standard, I think it was like a B average, she'd get 10% off of the bill. So there were things that we could do to still reduce our bill and reduce our cost, even if it meant that obviously we need to have this coverage. So we don't want to lower the quality of the insurance that we have, but we want to be able to find ways to go into programs that they offer that can lower our insurance. We do this also with the mileage. So if we're not, I personally don't drive a lot of mileage every single year. I'm between 10 and 11,000 miles per year. For me, since the average is 12,000 miles per year, they actually lower my bill a little bit because I'm not on the road as often. So there are things that you can do, but you have to look into that carrier and see if they offer those kinds of discounts. Because a lot of them do, and a lot of people just don't know to look because they've never been told that there are ways for you to get a lower rate.
Yeah, this is something that we do. That's what our website does. That's what everybody personal finance does, really, is find ways that you can save, hopefully without sacrificing your quality of life. But as we conclude this podcast, I have to ask you something really important. We're talking about a budget. And as we said at the outset, this sounds like not very fun. How do you get people to make a budget part of their everyday life? Because it just sounds like something people are going to either start and stop doing or not even get started doing in the first place.
This is actually one of my favorite things to talk about because, like I said, I was one of those people that hated budgets and then realized my budget is my best friend. A budget is only going to be as restrictive as you make it to be because you're the one creating it. So it just has to reflect your lifestyle, which means that every priority that you want for your month needs to be included in your budget. It's a plan. You're just planning out how you want to spend your money. So it's not going to dictate what you can and cannot spend money on. You're going to tell it, I want to spend money on coffee this month. I want to spend $30 this month on coffee. I want to be able to go to Disneyland in 6 months. So I want to save this money every month so that I can make this happen. I need to make sure that I pay more towards my debt because I want to pay that off. So I'm going to put more towards my debt. I am in control of my budget. I think a lot of people, when they think of budget, they think, oh my gosh, this is going to be boring. It's going to tell me I can't spend money on this or that. And no, that's not what a budget is. A budget actually gives you more freedom than if you don't have one, because it tells you exactly what you want it to look like. It gives you a snapshot of your entire month, the way you've planned it out, but it just has dollars and cents next to it. So it keeps you in line with your priorities. And I think when people start looking at a budget in that way, it makes it so much easier for it to be a part of your life versus something that is restricting your life.
That makes sense. What do you use for, do you still budget as we speak?
I do.
Okay. How do you budget? Do you just write everything down, or do you use Quicken? What do you use to budget?
I'm a very big paper and pen kind of person, but I also have an Excel spreadsheet that I use that I've included formulas in there. So it makes it easier for everything to just be added up. But I do writing things out because I don't have the greatest memory. And so for some reason, when I write something, it's etched in my mind.
But what about all these apps that automatically track your expenses? It knows where you've spent money and puts it into a category for you.
Those could be really convenient for people who are on the go, who really don't like to do what I do. That those can be very convenient. I would just watch out for having it linked to everything, because you never know if there is going to be a glitch in the system or something that might affect your bank account. So I just monitor it to make sure that it's having the right information in there and that nothing is glitching. But for the most part, those are really convenient tools for people who are at least just getting started, who don't really want to do the whole spreadsheet analysis of a budget.
Yeah. Cool. And if you're using multiple credit cards, and you still have to monitor if you're using a debit card and a credit card for points and another credit card for something else, you got to still consolidate all it. What's that?
Do you budget?
Obviously, my wife budgets everything out. Yeah, of course we do.
And I know that Miranda doesn't, because we've had this conversation before. You don't budget, Miranda?
I have a plan. So for me, a lot of it goes back to a lot of people when they're doing a budget or starting to save, their first thing is, okay, let's look at numbers and then make a plan based on numbers. And for me, it's really about, no, let's start with what's most important and what are our values, and let's start there. And so for me, it's not a budget where I sit down, whatever, but I say, okay, I know that X amount is going into the travel fund each month. X amount is paying for my rent. X amount is paying for the insurance. Like, the important things are covered. And then for me, it doesn't really matter what category everything else goes in. But I do have a plan for the important things, making sure the things that matter most to me are covered. And those things are taken care of first, so that if I do get down to the end of the month and I'm like, something's got to give, I have to cut somewhere. What I'm cutting are the things that don't matter to me as much. And it makes me think about, what is the point of this? Yeah. And so I find that starting from that place of your values, rather than starting from the place of what Gina was talking about, like some overwhelming number, can help you. Like, it's a way to reverse it, right? Where you start with, okay, what matters and what absolutely has to be taken care of, and then go from there. And then looking at your past spending and saying, why did I spend on this? Does it really matter to me? And then thinking about it. I think for me, a lot of it's just thinking about it.
Yeah. And it also trains you to figure out what you can live without. Because I remember when cell phones first came out, I was like, oh my God, I got to have either AT&T or Verizon or whatever like that. And technology has gotten a lot better since then. And we've gotten away from that and finally dropped down to second tier cell services, Xfinity or Mint Mobile. And they're just as good. And once you learn that you can cut your bill in half and use those, and then you say, I really like going to the movies. If you just cut your cell phone bill by half, now you've got cash to go to the movies. So that's the big trick of budgeting.
Yes. And you know what, guys? We're out of time. But before we quit today, I want Gina to tell me something inspirational that's going to get me going on this whole budgeting track and being successful and all the rest of it. What can you tell me to get me excited about doing this, Gina?
I know that finances can be rather boring and something that a lot of people find dreadful. I think the biggest inspiration is being able to realize the things that you'll be able to do once your finances are in a place that are secure and stable. So the more that you work on your finances, the more fun and the more enjoyment you can get out of your money. Because at the end of the day, you're working really hard for your money. You do deserve to enjoy your money. And once you start managing it correctly, you'll be able to enjoy more of it and less of it will be wasted.
I've adopted a new expression, Gina, and it goes like this. Money will never make you happy. But if you're already happy, money is a riot.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's a good friend of mine. Okay, guys, we are out of time, unfortunately, but we are never out of topic. Dig a little deeper. You're going to find links to lots more info in our show notes. And remember, if your goal is to make more, to spend less, to retire rich, your online home is moneytalksnews.com. And don't forget to check out Miranda's online home as well. That is Miranda Marquit, MARQUIT.com. And Gina, I hope I've got your website right. I looked it up. It's savingwiz.com. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, saving and wiz, WHIZ.com. If you've got a question, comment, or topic you'd like to suggest, tell us about it. You can email us at hello@moneytalksnews.com. And as I said at the break, if you like what we do, then show us. Subscribe to our podcast. Takes you 2 seconds, really helps us. So if you like us, show us and subscribe. Again, Gina, thank you so much for being here. You're a wonderful guest. We will be counting the minutes until we have you back. In the meantime, I'm Stacy Johnson.
I'm Miranda Marquit.
I'm Aaron Freeman.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We're going to see you right here next time.